Please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to make it really easy today. We're only going to two different places in the Bible. We'll be in Ephesians. Flip over to Deuteronomy and then back to Ephesians. Title of today's teaching is Blessed with Every Spiritual Blessing. Blessed with Every Spiritual Blessing. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we read, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If I read it to you from the ESV, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And other translations do it the same way. They put Christ ahead. It says, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So the blessings that we have here that are being referred to are in Christ, and they are in the heavenly places. Now, you can read this verse rather quickly, but it takes some time and growing up to appreciate what a great and magnificent truth this is, what's being communicated here. When I was a young believer, somebody told me that the pinnacle of the revelation given to the church is the book of Ephesians. So naturally, I was very excited to read Ephesians to find out why. And when I read this verse and other verses in Ephesians about these spiritual blessings, a lot of it just escaped me. I did not understand the greatness of what was being communicated. What does it mean that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places? So initially, I didn't get really excited about this. It sounded good, but it had no substance for me. I couldn't put my finger, you know, I couldn't grasp what was being communicated. We'll come back to Ephesians chapter 1, but let's go to Deuteronomy 28 for a second here. Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy is a communication that God gave to Moses to give to the children of Israel just before they were to enter the promised land. And in chapter 28 are another set of blessings that are spoken of. We'll start in verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee, speaking about the nation of Israel, set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kine, and the flock of thy sheep. Now, these are blessings we can understand right away when you read them. You know, we all know what it means to be of the fruit of the body. We're going to have lots of children, fruit of the ground, great crops, fruit of the cattle. You know, we're going to get to eat grass-fed hamburger meat, really great, good stuff. The fruit of thy flocks, the flocks of thy sheep, all these things are tangible blessings we can easily grasp, and we can think, wow, that's really great. I'd like to have those blessings too. Then verse 5 says, Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. I mean, everywhere you go, you're going to be blessed. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before these seven ways. We can understand that very clearly. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all thou settest thine hand unto. Today, perhaps we can think of our bank account. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Nobody's going to mess with you. Again, we can really understand that. Nobody's going to come out fight against you. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Again, we can understand exactly what's being said here. You know, if somebody communicated these blessings to us today, we'll say, oh yeah, I know what it means to get the rain at the right time. Yeah, perfectly understand that. And I know what it means not to have to borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, verse 13, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. And it continues, but let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1 now. Ephesians chapter 1. So we understand, reading those blessings that were promised to the nation of Israel, we can understand them because they're tangible. You know, we can know what it means for the fruit of the body. It means children. We know the fruit of the ground, good crops, fruit of cattle, you know, lots of calves, milk and meat, grass-fed beef burgers. We know what it means to have great flocks of sheep. We get lamb, chops, wool, whatever we need. We also know what it means to be overwhelmingly defeat your enemies. Lots of goods, we understand that. Being the head and not the tail, we understand. So all these blessings that were communicated there to Israel, very easy for us to grasp. And the reason is because they're in the physical realm. We can touch them. They're tangible. But here in Ephesians chapter 1, we are being talked about spiritual blessings. So let's start again. We're going to just read Ephesians 1, all of Ephesians 1 and a little bit of 2, and that'll be the teaching today. But in Ephesians 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Ephesians is addressed to those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean perfect. It means those who can steadily continue to go to God and stand on his word day by day, faithfully. Faithful in Christ Jesus. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Or as we recall earlier, it should read, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So the first thing we note about these blessings is that it says God is blessed. God has blessed us. Blessed be God. There's no condition here given. It's unconditional. He's the one who decided these blessings. He's very blessed to give these things to us. And secondly, it says they are in Christ, a result of what Christ has accomplished for us. Thirdly, they are in the heavenlies. So they're in Christ and they're located in the heavenly places. The words in the heavenlies or in the heavenly places occur 5 times in the book of Ephesians, and they are literally referring to the heavenlies or heavens as a location. Later, we're going to read about Jesus Christ being seated at God's right hand in the heavenly places. And that's a place. Christ is seated somewhere, and it's a place, okay? And you don't have to turn there, but in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, since then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things in the earth. So the things above, the heavenly places, are contrasted with the things of the earth. And our blessings are in Christ in the heavenly places. That's the location of our blessings. The blessings for the children of Israel were in the land, the promised land on the earth that he was sending them to. So there's a contrast. It's in the heavenly places. They are a result of what God has done for us in Christ. And notice it says every spiritual blessing. Every blessing which is spiritual, God has blessed us with in Christ. And then as we continue reading, we're going to get to see what are these, some of these spiritual blessings. And by nature, spiritual things cannot be seen. And God is the one who has to reveal spiritual information to us. In the Bible, it says the natural man, the person who does not have spirit, cannot understand the things of God. They're foolishness unto him. And it takes having the Spirit of God within and God to reveal these spiritual things to us. And here we're going to read about some of them being revealed, okay? Verse 4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him, speaking about Christ, God has chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God chose us in Christ, and it says he made us holy and without blame, or without blemish is the text, before him in love. And the words in love actually carry on to the next verse. So it should be, we should be holy and without blame before him, before God. So in Christ, when God looks upon us, we are holy. That means set apart from the rest of the world and without blame, without blemish. We have no blemishes. Whenever the foundation of the world was, before that time, it says God chose us in Christ. That shows a lot of forethought and care from God. He chose us so long ago, from before the foundation of the world. And secondly, it says that we should be holy and without blame or blemish before him. You know, a blemish is something you can see, right? I mean, I have plenty of blemishes on my body. But we have no blemishes before God being in Christ. In God's sight, we are holy. In God's sight, we are without blemish. Now, we may not be holy in our own sight, and we may have lots of blemishes when we look in the mirror. But in God's sight, holy without blemish. We have nothing that mars us so that we can appear before God in Christ. That is a spiritual blessing. So many people strive to be able to get close to God and approach God and trying to do it by their works and means. But God has done it for us in Christ so that we can approach God. It is not based on our works. These blessings are in Christ, the perfect one who was without blemish, the Lamb who was without spot or blemish. And so God blessed us in him. If you recall the blessings of Deuteronomy, they were given to Israel. There were some conditions on those blessings, and it had to do with their walk before God. They had to maintain a certain walk before they would be able to enjoy all the great blessings that God had for them. For us, spiritually, our walk doesn't affect these spiritual blessings, because it says that they are given to us in Christ and that we're holy and without blemish before him. So our walk does not affect the blessings that God has given us. Let's read verse 5. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It should actually, again, start, the verse 5 should start with the end of verse 4. It should read, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So note again, it's by Jesus Christ. Throughout this section, as we read, you're going to read about in Christ, in him, Jesus Christ, in the beloved, and so on. The repetition telling us all these blessings are because of who we are in Christ. They are ours because of what he has accomplished. They are not by our own doing. And it says here that we are children, and he made us his kids, his children, and it was according to the good pleasure of his will. He was delighted to do that. God was just so blessed to do that for us. We were not an afterthought to God. Predestination doesn't mean God chose some and others he neglected. It just means God's predestination means he knows what's going to happen ahead of time. He has foreknowledge, and he decides that anybody who would believe in Christ, this is what they would get. You know, just like if you go to somebody's house and they invite you to dinner, they basically predestine what they're going to give you for food. If you accept that invitation, you're predestined to the food they're going to feed you. They didn't overstep your freedom of will. And if somebody comes to your house, they get to enjoy it. If you go to the house, you get to enjoy that meal. If others do not get to go to the house, they don't get to enjoy that meal. So you are predestined to that meal. We were predestined by God to all these blessings. Because he said, anybody who believes in my son, Jesus Christ, this is what I'm going to give him. Okay, these blessings are in him. And he was really blessed to do that. In verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The word accepted there is the words highly favored. It's only used two times in the Bible. The other place it's used is when the angel came to Mary and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So how special was Mary as the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ? She was highly favored. And that's what it says about us. We are highly favored by God. We're highly favored in the beloved. Again, referring to Jesus Christ. Because we're in Jesus Christ, we have God's high favor upon us. This is a spiritual blessing. Every day when we walk about in our life, we can recognize that God, we're favored by God. He favors us because we accepted Christ. You know, he loves us. We're not some, you know, low-life individuals walking around. The world may treat us that way, but God highly favors us. In verses 7 and 8, let's read those together now. It says, in whom, again, referring to Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So in Christ we have redemption. We've been purchased. We've been bought back by his blood, and all of our trespasses, the word sins is trespasses, all our trespasses are forgiven. Everything has been forgiven according to a small sum. No, it says according to the riches of his God's grace. Okay. See, God didn't give us just a little bit of grace. He didn't give us, you know, a small measure of grace. He gave us grace richly. He blessed us. He just poured it out. You know, if you talk about a rich person pouring out gold coins out of a big bag, that's why I think about God pouring on the grace on our lives. Just out of a big bag, it's just, let's pour it on a little bit more. And then it says, wherein he hath abounded toward us. So even the richness was in great abounding, abundance towards us, in all wisdom and prudence. These are spiritual blessings. You know, that means when we walk in life, when we live our days, we can recognize from God's perspective, he finds us holy and without blame. He favors us. He has forgiven us. He blesses us. He doesn't look at us according to our sins. He looks at us with love, and he looks at us as being in Christ. And as you think about these things, these realities, you begin to realize, hey, perhaps they're a little bit better than those physical blessings that Israel was promised. Maybe just a little bit better. You know, if we had kept reading the book of Deuteronomy, we would have seen that the promised blessings were followed by a lot of curses. You know, if the children of Israel didn't do what they were asked to do, they were going to get a lot of negative consequences in their lives. But we have not read anything in here, and you won't read anything in Ephesians about any curses coming up. These blessings are in Christ. They are done. And they're guaranteed. Okay. Christ was the perfect one. How could we lose by having believed in, by being in Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It says, verse 8 says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That's what the King James should say, reads, but it should read, which he hath purposed in him, meaning Christ. God has made known unto us the mystery or the secret of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in Christ, in him, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So as we're continuing to read about these great blessings, it tells us now that God has made known unto us a secret, a mystery, according to his good pleasure. He desired to make this known to us, which was a secret. It was a purpose that he had. In King James, it says purpose in himself, but it's a purpose he had in Christ. Okay, God had a secret will, and it had to do with his purpose in Christ. And it gave God pleasure to fulfill this purpose in Christ, which is that in the administration or the fullness of times, Christ will be head over all things, both in heaven and on earth. Okay? Christ is to be head over all things in heaven and on earth. And God has made that known to us, something he kept secret for ages and generations, never revealed to anyone else before, but he told us. Okay? This God's secret purpose in Christ was to make Christ the head over all things in heaven and on earth. And he let us in on this secret. He made it known unto us. This is one of those great spiritual blessings. In verse 11, it says, in whom, again, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So God also decided that those who would be in Christ would also get an inheritance. Romans says we are joint heirs with Christ. God did that. And the blessing of this inheritance that God's speaking about here in Romans immediately follows after telling us God's great purpose in Christ, which is to make him head over all things in heaven and earth. In Hebrews, it says Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. Okay, and Romans tells us we're joint heirs with him. Think about that. Jesus Christ has been made heir of all things, and we're joint heirs with him. In him, it says right here, we read, in Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance. So that is, Jesus Christ is in a very high position, highest next to God himself, and we are in Christ, and we're joint heirs with him. Can you begin to grasp what tremendous blessings these are? Israel was going to inherit the promised land, just a little piece of land, if you know the size of Israel, very small country. But we're given blessings, inheritance in the heavenly places, and we're joint heirs with Christ, who is going to have the headship in the heavens and the earth. God has worked, it says, these things according to the counsel of his own will. You know, he didn't ask other people for input on this. He decided on his own, this is what I'm going to do for those who are going to be in Christ. In fact, I'm willing to bet that if God had asked us, hey, kids, what would you like to be blessed with? We would have greatly shortchanged ourselves. We probably would have asked for, you know, I'd like a really new car, you know, I'd like to have a nice house on the beach or something physical like that. You know, we would have thought about earthly things. But God blessed us in Christ in the heavenly places. And he did it according to the counsel of his own will. So, by the way, being as we're joint heirs with Christ, do you think that these spiritual blessings also have ramifications in the physical realm? You think that Jesus Christ is impoverished and in any way whatsoever being given the headship over all things in heaven and earth? I don't think so. These are some extraordinary blessings that we're reading about here, and it takes some time to grow in appreciation and understanding them. Let's go to verse 13. It says, in whom you also, after you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know, our hope is in Christ. We put our hope in Christ. That's what verse 13 is referring to. We have put our hope in Christ Jesus. And it says, all the things that he promises here, including our inheritance, God gave us a down payment. He gave us the earnest means a down payment. God could have just given his word and it would have been good, because the scriptures say that God is not a man that he should lie. All he's got to do is make a promise and it's as good as done, because he cannot go against it. But instead of just giving us a promise, he also gave us a down payment. He gave us a down payment of Holy Spirit within, so that we know that this inheritance is real. Okay. Because perhaps because of our weakness of frame or whatever the reason may be, you know, sometimes we have a very difficult time grasping spiritual unseen things. And God gave us the ability to speak in tongues. He gave us the gift of Holy Spirit so we can speak in tongues and operate all the other manifestations. And every time you operate speaking in tongues, it's proof to us that we have an inheritance coming. See, when we speak in tongues, we're speaking in languages that we were never learned. We never taught. You know, we didn't go to school to learn them. God gave us this ability through the Spirit within us. Something pretty awesome when you stop and think about it. I never learned these languages, but now I can speak in many languages. That's mind-blowing. And that is a reminder of this guarantee, this earnest that I have. Hey, this inheritance is coming also. So then we come to this fantastic prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the greatness of his exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So the word knowledge in verse 17 says God wants us to give the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is the word acknowledgement. It's a recognition, not just knowing, but a clear and exact knowledge. God wants us to really know who he is and what he's given us. He wants us to know him. Then it says the eyes of your understanding, it's literally the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. See, this is a prayer in Ephesians. And the prayer for these Ephesians who were faithful in Christ, Paul prayed for them that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened, that they would begin to see the greatness of all these things that God has put forth to them. The hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his power. These are deep truths that cannot be appreciated by just a cursory reading. Okay? These are spiritual realities having to do with heavenly things, spiritual things, and in order to appreciate them, we have to get spiritual understanding from God. You know, Paul didn't just say, well, now that I've written them, you should understand them. He prayed for the Ephesians to understand them. Now, Paul obviously is dead. He's not praying for us today. So we have to pray to God for understanding as we read about these spiritual realities. Many years ago, as I said, when I was a young believer, yeah, it went right over my head. But as I spent time in understanding and praying and asking God to show me and enlighten the eyes of my understanding, God begins to reveal things to me. So the point now where I thought those blessings to Israel were so fantastic and I'd really love to have them, now I think, ah, that was nothing. Nothing in comparison to what God has done for us in Christ. Absolutely just nothing. I mean, they were great. Don't get me wrong. They were great things God did for Israel, but I'm saying in comparison, what we have in Christ is so much better. So God wants us to really understand these things so we can go to God in prayer. Then it says this inheritance that we have is in heaven. And it's in the scriptures tell us this inheritance is incorruptible, it's imperishable, it doesn't fade away. And God wants us to know this inheritance. He really wants us to understand it. And then it says, and furthermore, God wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, it says in verse 19, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This is what he did, this power that God exercised, he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and then he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Exactly where our blessings are, in the heavenly places. They're in Christ, in the heavenly places where Christ is seated. God took him from the lowest of the low, in the grave, dead. You know, he was buried, the lowest position you could possibly be, in a grave in the earth. He died a horrible death. He was in the lowest possible position, and God raised him from the dead. And not only did he raise him from the dead, he took him all the way up to the highest place you could possibly be, seated at his own right hand, okay, next to God. He bypassed all the heavenly realms, the firmament, right into heaven itself to place him there. You have to just stop and think about this. That is the power God says is going to be exercised towards us, those of us who believe. That same power is going to be exercised towards us. And he wants us to know that. He's going to bring us from the lowest of the low to be seated in the heavenly realms, as we're going to read in Christ. And Jesus Christ, it says in verse 21, is far above, not just a little bit, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, the word is age, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Jesus Christ's position remains not only in this age, but in the ages to come. You know, Jesus Christ's name is going to be still above everything in the ages to come. And we are part of his body, the body of Christ. He's the head over all things to the church, which is us, the body of Christ. And what a position he has. What a position of blessing and of power and authority that Jesus Christ had. Far above everything. Not just a little bit, far above. Okay. And we are, our blessings are in him, in the heavenly places. Now let's keep reading in chapter 2. There should be no chapter break there. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, or our manner of life, all had our manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. See, this is all we did. This is what all man does without a knowledge of God. They basically fulfill the desires of the flesh and the mind. What's going to make me happy? What's going to please me? You know, what's going to make all the, you know, thrill me today? That's all. We all did that. And we were destined for wrath. Okay. That's where we were in that situation. But then verse 4, but God. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And has raised us up together, that's together with Christ, and made us sit together, together with Christ, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See that? Yes. Now, this is not a physical reality today. We're, you know, you're seated in the living room over there. I'm standing over here. We're still on the ground. But from God's perspective, it's something that he's already accomplished for us in Christ. One day it will become a reality. One day it will become a physical reality, if we can talk about the spiritual realm in that sense. It'll become a reality. We will literally be seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. So there we are. This is where, that's where we're going to end today. We're today, the spiritual blessings, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that's possible to be blessed with. Every spiritual blessing. And these blessings are in Christ, okay? And they are in the heavenly places. And they don't end in the next age. They continue in the ages to come. Verse 7, I think I skipped verse 7. I meant to read that. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Okay. God is going to continue to show us more grace in the ages to come. He's already blessed us so richly, but even more grace is to come. Now, I don't know how much of what we just read sunk in, maybe a little bit here or there. But to really grasp it, you have to go to God for understanding. You know, just like Paul prayed for the Ephesians so they would get it. You know, they would get what he was trying to communicate it to them. We have to do the same. He just couldn't explain it to them. This understanding of spiritual matters has to come from God himself. And oh, what a thrill it is as God opens your eyes to see them and behold them. Okay. It's easy to recognize the blessings on Israel. They were physical blessings, but it takes, you know, harvest, cows, sheep, fruitful harvest, enemies running away. But the spiritual blessings have to be revealed by God. And this is part of the joy as believers for us to go to God and have them revealed to us, to discover them day by day. And again, we're not blessed with just a few spiritual blessings, but every blessing which is spiritual. Not 50%, not 75%, not 98%, not 99%, but every spiritual blessing God has blessed us within Christ. Okay. Can we see that all these spiritual blessings are in Christ? Can we see that they are so much greater than what was given to Israel? And we should continue to grow in our understanding and to look to God in prayer, asking him to open our eyes day by day so that we can get to know him and these great blessings that are toward us in Christ, so that we can walk with great joy every day and thanksgiving to our God. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done us in Christ, Father. And I know it's just going to take us continued life of growing and understanding to start to appreciate some of these until Christ comes back, Father. We have the wonderful joy of looking to you to open our eyes and to help us to behold them, Father. Thank you how richly you've blessed us in Christ, Father. Things we just did not deserve when we were dead in trespasses and sins, and you forgave us all those. Thank you, Father, for the great pleasure you took in blessing us in this way. And thank you, Father, for the exceeding riches of your grace that are still to be shown towards in the ages to come. We truly are a blessed people, Father, and we're so grateful that you chose us in Christ before we even knew you. And thank you for the great future that you have planned for us in the ages to come. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.